The chief representative of the Council of Chicken Kindred on Earth was waiting for his turn to enter the spaceship. He had been waiting for 20 minutes in mankind time. It seemed a lot longer to a chicken. The spaceship had landed over an hour ago, but the inhabitants had had some trouble with the lock, and it had taken 40 minutes to get the door open. The inhabitants of the spaceship were by way of being contacts for the elders of Pre-Dominion, who, enigmatically, did not exist, yet were wholly responsible for all the love and peace situations in the universe. These contacts, called Watchers, landed on every inhabited planet on a rotation, which meant that they called on Earth every second Thursday at 4 o'clock in the morning. Not, you will admit, the best time to be at your best, which is exactly what the representative of the Council of Chicken Kindred wished to be. Each audience with the Watchers lasted about 3 seconds, so as there were only 100 waiting before him, he was standing before the council in 5 minutes and back outside again 3 seconds later. He had not had time to open his beak, but the Watchers knew what he wanted. It was the same old story. The chickens questioned their destiny. They just could not bring themselves to peace for as long as mankind continued to eat not only the chickens, but also the just-laid embryo of their species. "Well," said one of the Watchers later, "we've no authority to intervene, but we might add a little fun to this situation by giving them J7¼. This statement was so funny that the Watchers fell apart laughing, and it took a patient mother computer to reassemble them. So the chickens were given J7¼ more in jest than in wisdom. There was no actual handing over ceremony or injection parade. They just passed from one moment when they didn't have it to the next when they all did. Such is the power of pre-Dominion representatives. The spaceship left later on fully automatic, as the Watchers had fallen apart again when they realized that they had forgotten to tell the chickens how the power they had just received would manifest itself. The same mother computer got them together again whilst making Earth Blossom tea, correcting the course towards the next planet, and knitting a pair of woolen socks for an Earth boy she had fallen in love with. The chickens were strutting about, acting as though they'd really got what it takes, which wasn't too cool, as destiny would have it, fashion food amongst mankind was chicken legs dipped in batter, breadcrumbs, and then in hot, deep fat. After 3 weeks of being eaten at the rate of 97.5 million a day, the chickens began to think that this power that they had was a load of old rubbish. What they didn't know, chickens don't read newspapers and take what they hear by rumor at scratch value, was that there had come an element of surprise into mankind's breakfast meal. With decreasing rareness, an egg, boiled for 4.5 minutes, when struck for opening, exploded in a 0-0 scale nuclear blast, completely wrecking the breakfast table and leaving all of the occupants of the room with psychological diarrhea, which usually lasted for 2 weeks, but tended to linger after successive explosions. The people of China didn't care, as they eat their eggs only after they have been boiled for 100 years. This tended to neutralize the effects of J7¼, or perhaps they haven't got to that batch yet. After 6 months of dangerous breakfasts, mankind, or at least 4.5 minute boiled egg eating mankind, grew perturbed and formed a council which formed two committees, one to investigate the chemical mankind fed to the chickens to make them lay more eggs, and one to deal with the rash of skirmishes that had broken out between guerrilla factions of the United Harmless Egg Wholesalers and the People's Movement for Quiet Breakfasts. Salt-and-peppered thigh-biting was running rife in many European countries, and in Britain, a man who dearly loved boiled eggs invented a foolproof opening device that contained any ensuing explosion. The inventor's name was Leghorn. He sold the patent for a double poached eggs on toast, having been converted to that faith by the power of love, which had occurred in him at the passing of the Watcher's spaceship. Leghorn was in a snack bar at the time. He fell in love with the waitress and willingly accepted the poached eggs she forced upon him. They were left by a customer who had suddenly dashed off to see his psychologist, who was, by this time, president of the Amalgamated Toilet Tissue Issuers. Fallowfield, a stupid rustic, decided to quit the city life and return to the country, out of harm's way, so to speak. He pitched his tent in the exact spot where a spaceship landed on its visits to Earth. Ooh, there's a little bit of suspense for you. But keep cool, because the spaceship isn't due for another 9 days yet. Fallowfield spent his days in Idyll, until, slowly, he began to wonder about the wildlife in his vicinity. What really woke him up was the Yeti wandering about, bumping into things and moaning. Fallowfield, being in possession of a little medical knowledge, spied the signs and symptoms of severe headache, the most obvious sign being that at some time or another the Yeti had been scalped by an enterprising Sherpa. The first tiger to appear in the area for over a million years clinched it for Fallowfield. There was something very special about this spot. In a period of 7 days, the whole area became filled with every conceivable species of life. They lolled around and practiced the speeches they were to make to the Watchers. Most of the speeches were complaints about destiny and against mankind. The noise and confusion grew so great that Fallowfield moved his tent to a spot out of earshot. All night he could hear 500,000 barn owls practicing their speech about the sad lack of barns. There were 500,000 of them, as they couldn't decide on one spokesman, so they all came. And all day he had to put up with the sound of the Yeti screaming about the noise. Fallowfield thought dreamily about the peace in the city. Finally, at 4 o'clock one Thursday morning, he decided to leave when a spaceship landed almost on top of him. He tried to reach his best friend by telephone, but the batteries in his field telephone were flat, as his wife had been using them in the electric toothbrush she used to polish the floor. So, realizing that he was to witness this alone, he strolled over to the spaceship to take a look. Hands in pockets, he walked right in, only to find himself back outside again in 3 seconds. He tried this 3 or 4 times, and in 10 seconds or so had the situation pretty much sized up. He walked to the back of the queue of animals and waited behind a beaver who wanted to lodge some complaint or another. The queue moved at a shuffle, and as soon as it was his turn next, he was in. "Wait!" he shouted, and found himself outside again. Mother Computer put her charges in order and switched off the 3-second device while brewing a nice cup of tea for the man. "It's all right, you can come in now, we've turned it off," called one of the Watchers from the door. Fallowfield walked in. It was exactly as he expected the interior of the real spaceship to be, completely beyond description. "What do you wish to say?" asked a watcher. "Too much," answered Fallowfield. "Why are you here?" asked the watcher. "To escape from exploding boiled eggs," replied Fallowfield innocently. The mother computer gave her charges a stern frown to let them know that she felt that this was not a laughing matter. "Then why do you eat them?" Fallowfield was asked. "Because they are nutritious," he replied. "Well, you will be pleased to hear that we are turning off the power on the request of the chickens themselves. It appears that mankind committees have decided to stop adding calcium to the chickens' food, and eggs have become so brittle that they are exploding at the moment of laying. It didn't take too many sore chickens to send their representatives back to us again. So all is restored to normal in that area. Is there anything else you wish to ask of us?" "No," said Fallowfield, and found himself outside with the door closed. An instant later, the ship had gone. The chickens had forgotten about the whole matter already and were back in their yards pecking calcium-enriched corn. The beaver was in Paradise Pond, spitting on his teeth and sizing up the direction of fall. The Yeti sat on the top of a mountain, far enough from Everest to avoid the tourist noise, with an ice bag on his head, carefully pressing flat the brim of the scout hat he had been given by the watchers. Fallowfield walked back to his tent. He opened, warmed, and ate a tin of chicken soup, then went to bed to sleep until late in the afternoon.